This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Richard Allen getting ready to face trial for the murder of those two little girls in Delphi, Indiana. Two little girls that should have never lost their lives one day when they went out to go play in the woods. But is he the man who's responsible for their deaths? Lots of evidence pointing not necessarily towards him. In fact, there's not a whole lot that does point towards him other than some coerced allegations of saying that he did it in prison to other people under duress. It's an interesting thing, especially when we talk about how we interrogate people and try to get information out of them. Join me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Getting information out of people is an interesting thing, and the way that we do it in this country is, I think, questionable, especially to other countries that don't necessarily have the principle of let's lie, let's scare the hell out of the person to try and get the answer that we want. Other places don't do that because it doesn't necessarily produce accurate results all of the time. What are your thoughts on this? Because this is how we do things here. It's kind of how I think a lot of us think, well, the system must work this way. This must be successful and it gets what you want. Does it really, though?
So some people do that.
Yeah.
If you look, my background, mm-hmm. I am 100% anti-coercion, manipulation, mm-hmm. subterfuge, all the pretexting that some people will utilize to mm-hmm. do that before exactly the reasons you said. If you're looking for truth, veracity of information, you have to think in terms of not convincing or coercing someone to give it, because then you're getting like 10% accuracy that you have to follow up on what a lot of others. I think more in terms of how can I inspire them to want to share the truth? How can I inspire them to share truth before they have an opportunity to lie and deceive? And so it's always about understanding their motivations. There's three keys that great interviewers will get a lot of reps in when interviewing. And I say, I don't even like the word interrogation because it makes it sound it's ominous and oppressing mm-hmm. on it. It's just an interview. It's a conversation. And great interviewers will maneuver in and out of using rationalizations, projections, and minimizers with individuals. What you're doing is when you are, as an investigator, have all the information, all the details, and all the facts in your mind, and you are 99.9% convinced in that because of the facts and details you have that this person committed the crime, and you need a confession from them or more details or whatever you're going for, you lead them up to the ledge of allowing them to see what happens if they don't share truth and empowering them with a choice about what they want to do to move forward from there. And you do things so you rationalize, you help them rationalize their behavior, because most people, unless you're dealing with pure psychopathy, do have an emotional response to doing bad things. And so you can help them rationalize, as we've seen with all these cases. We see lots of people rationalizing bad behavior. So you are there to help them rationalize, it could have been much worse. Instead of killing three people, we could have killed five people. So there's a rationalization. Projection, here's what a projection might look like. Instead of it's all your fault, because of the way you grew up and all the trauma you went through, walk a mile in your shoes and see what kind of choices you would make, because I understand that. So that's probably if your mother wasn't like she was, your father didn't walk out on you, that's a projection. Then a minimizer is, if you just are able to share with me a little bit more details, we might be able to save a few more people. Maybe it'll help heal it a few more people. And I could actually stand with you and actually talk to defense and talk to prosecution. We might be able to reduce the sentence a little bit from maybe the death sentence to maybe life behind bars. Mm-hmm. And so there we have minimalization. So surrounding all these things is the investigator, the interviewer is trying to determine the needs, wants, dreams, and aspirations, priorities, friction points, pain points of the individual, and seeing what they can do to be a resource for that individual overcoming those things and make a connection there. So, and again, I not oversimplifying it in like 30 seconds, me telling you how to do this, but that's what a great interviewer does. They're maneuvering around all those areas. And never once in there did I have to lie, cheat, steal, mm-hmm. make up a falsehood, because I I'm on the side of it just doesn't serve me well. It's also very incongruent with who I am as well. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to be a resource for someone, that person has to feel I'm there for them. And I need congruence between my verbals, my nonverbal behavior. They have to understand that I see them not as a screwdriver or a tool to make myself look good and prosecute this case, but I'm actually there for them. As abhorrent as their behavior might have been, the horrible things they've done, in order for them to feel like I'm on their side, not taking their side, but on their side of trying to move them forward in their process, that's what you have to do. It's very challenging, but that's why great interviewers, great investigators have a lifetime of reps of doing this.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.